देवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Verse 17. Shri Suka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tam Aha Bahumanayam. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Kshatra Kausharavo Muni Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta Pumsam Nishreyasarthena Tamaha Bahumanayan. Matajis. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Sa Evam Bhagavan Prishta क्षत्रा कौशारव मुनि पुंसाम निश्रय सार्थेन तमाह बहुमानयन। श्री शुक उवाच स एवं भगवान पृष्ठ क्षत्रा कौशारव मुनि पुंसाम निश्रय सार्थेन तमाह बहुमानयन। श्री शुक उवाच स एवं भगवान पृष्ठ क्षत्रा कौशारवो मुनि पुंसाम श्रीने सार्थेन तमाह बहुमानयन। श्री शुक उवाच श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड सह ही एवं दास भगवान द ग्रेट सेज पृष्ठा बीइंग रिक्वेस्टेड क्षत्रा बाय विदुरा कौशारव मैत्रेय मुनि द ग्रेट सेज पुमसाम फॉर ऑल पीपल निश्रेयस फॉर द ग्रेटेस्ट वेलफेयर अर्थेन फॉर दैट तम अंटू हिम आह नरेटेड बहु ग्रेटली मानयन ऑनरिंग। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। Sukadev Goswami said, the great sage Maitreya Muni, after honoring Vidura very greatly, began to speak at Vidura's request for the greatest welfare of all people. The great sage Maitreya Muni is described here as Bhagavan because he surpassed all ordinary human beings in learning and experience. Thus, his selection of the greatest welfare service for the world is considered authoritative. The all-inclusive welfare service for the entire human society is devotional service to the Lord. And as requested by Vidura, the sage described the same very appropriately. ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितां तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांतो राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing our reading of the third canto, the fifth chapter. The discussion between Maitreya Rishi and Mahatma Vidur. So far, we heard the questions that Mahatma Vidur posed in front of Maitreya Rishi. And his questions was about that. He said that, even though I have heard from Sri Vyasadeva about so many literatures, the Mahabharata and so on, but I want to now today hear exclusively about Sri Krishna, the Lord's Purusha incarnation and other pastimes. So Viduraji is requesting that even though the other Vedic literatures are discussing about multiple things, about Karma Kanda and about, you know, social life along with Bhakti, today I want to hear special discussion only about Krishna Bhakti. Please, you know, tell that to me. And here Prabhupada explains that Maitreya Rishi, his name is Kausharava, he is the son of sage Kusharava. He is referred to as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan is defined by Sri Parashar Muni as Aishwarasya Samagrasya Virasya Yashasya Jnan Vairagayoshaya Sarnam Bhaga Itingana. So these six opulences are in the Lord, in Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in full measure. Aishwarya, Yasha, Shriya, fame in terms of his knowledge, strength, and ultimately, without all these things, he is renounced. He is completely Vairagya. So he has all these qualities, but he is completely renounced. And similarly, the devotees of the Lord are also sometimes referred to as Bhagavan, or the great devatas also referred to as Bhagavan, like Bhagavan Narada, or we call as Bhagavan Shiva, Bhagavan Brahma. So in the Bhagavatam, when these great persons are addressed, they are sometimes addressed as Bhagavan, because they are not like the ordinary people, and hence it makes sense to call them as, to address them as Bhagavan. We also know that, however, Lord Krishna is the supreme Bhagavan, who is the source of all these opulences, and hence we worship him as Sri Bhagavan. Now here in the discussion, also it is mentioned that how Maitreya Rishi honored Mahatma Vidur. And this is important because even Vidura is not an ordinary soul. He is a great devotee of the Lord. In his previous life, he is a Mahajan Yamaraj. And because of a curse by Manduka Muni, he is now playing the role of a Dasi Putra or Vidura. And hence, both these persons in this conversation are significant, they are important, they are great devotees of the Lord, and hence this discussion is considered to be significant in terms of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we understand that when two ordinary people speak, their discussions will be about mundane topics. But when two great devotees speak, this will be about something which is of the highest welfare. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. That my devotees, when they come together, they take great delight in discussing my topic. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. This discussion makes them fully satisfied as well as gives them great delight. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So that is the nature of discussion between two great souls. A similar verse is also given in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, where Maharaj Nimi is speaking with the Navayogendras and he poses a lot of questions in front of them. One of the questions is, please explain to me how a person can cross over the illusory energy of the Lord. To that question, the Navagita respond that parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavat yasha mithoratir mithotushtir nivrittir mitha atmanah. They explain that the best way to cross over this maya, the Lord's illusory energy, is to paraspara. Again, the word paraspara is used. Paraspara means coming together in the sangha of devotees. And what do we do in that sangha? Pavanam bhagavata yasha. Glorify the Lord, Supreme Lord, who is completely pure. Pavanam. And what is the outcome of that? Mitho ratir mitho tushti. Mutually, we get satisfaction. Mutually, we get pleasure. And this way, nivrittir mitha atmana. All together, as a group, we can all cross over this illusory energy. So this method of paraspara bhagavat katha is kind of a bona fide method of crossing over the Lord's energy of maya. In this verse again, the word is mentioned as nishreyasa. Nishreyasa means the highest welfare. For whom? For everyone involved. Shreyas and prayas, these two words are given in the Bhagavatam. Shreyas means something which is for the ultimate welfare. And in contrast, the word prayas means something of immediate benefit. So Prabhupada explains, how do we use these two words? So for example, prayas means how do I get something right now? So how can I get some quick benefits? So Prabhupada gives the example of, let's say somebody, children are playing. They don't want to study. So studying is for their ultimate benefit, so that they can be good, good children. But their mind is about playing. So when they play, they get quick benefit, immediate benefit. So that's prayers. Whereas if they can resist the temptation of playing and they can focus on their on sadhyaya, on studies, then they get the full benefit, the long-term benefit. So prayers is immediate benefit. And Shreyas is long-term benefit or long-term ultimate benefit for all. So whenever we do activities in this world, we will always be having these two choices. Are we doing something for prayers, for immediate benefit, or something for the ultimate ultimate impact that we can have to our life? So we should understand that Shreyas is the long-term benefit, even though prayers may be tempting. Sense gratification is coming in the category of prayers. And the spiritual path comes in the category of Shreyas. Also, there is similar discussion between Suta Goswami. He says that Apavarga and Pavarga. That how this Dharma Sehi Apavargasya Nartho Arthaya Apukalpate. Which means that Dharma must be, all occupation must be done for ultimate benefit. Apavarga. The word Pavarga and Apavarga are also similar to prayers and Shreyas. Pavarga is really a grammatical kind of connotation of these letters called the Sanskrit language is using the Devanagari script. So the letters like all the consonants, ka, kha, ga, gha, and so on. So the Pavarga refers to pa, fa, ba, bha, ma. Pa is for parishram, hard labor. Fa is for fena, or foaming at the mouth. Bha is for, we use vyarthita or frustration. Bha is bhaya or fear. And ultimately, ma is mrityu. So this pavarga discussion refers to these activities which are starting with parishram, fena, vyarthita, bhaya and mrityu. In contrast, apavarga is something again which is not these activities, but activities for the highest welfare. So dharma should be, all occupation must be done for apavarga. So same discussions, we understand that how the Bhagavatam repeatedly explains that don't get into prayers, engage in shreyas, don't do pavarga activities, but engage in apavarga activities. In the 12th canto, Suta Goswami explains that how the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna Katha, this discussion between the devotees is the highest welfare as given here. There's a nice verse which describes Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayo Kshinoti Abhadrani Chasham Tanoti Sattvasya Suddhim Paramatma Bhaktim Jnanam Cha Vijnana Viraga Yuktam. That this Krishna Bhakti, Avisprati Krishna Padaravindayo. Whenever we remember Krishna's lotus feet, what are the outcomes? There are seven benefits explained here, part of the welfare. What are the seven welfare points? Number one, Kshinoti Abhadrani. All inauspiciousness is driven away. And Sham Tanoti. It magnifies our good fortune. So it removes inauspiciousness, Kshinoti Abhadrani, and Sham Tanoti. It multiplies your good fortune. Now, who doesn't want that? We all want that, right? How can we reduce bad luck and increase good luck? So Krishna Bhakti gives that. In fact, we see how Dhruva Maharaj, even though he had a greed for the very high, the highest kingdom, he wanted a kingdom which is even higher than, greater than his great grandfather, Lord Brahma. So if you see if you analyze it, you'll find that he had a much higher greed. But just because he surrendered to Krishna, he did it in the form of bhakti, he actually got the highest welfare. On the other hand, we see Dhritarashtra. His greed was for a small kingdom of this world, just Hastinapur, he wanted. But because he was against the path of Bhagavad Dharma, the result was he met with destruction. In fact, Mahatma Vidur tries to explain to Dhritarashtra that what you are doing is not the right thing. You are going against the principles of dharma and you are doing adharma acharan. So his response was, you know, Vidur, whatever happens is predestined. So how can I stop it? So Vidura explained, so far what has happened is maybe predestined. But what you are doing now, your actions now, will determine your destiny. So please act correctly. But he did not understand. Because he was weak in his heart and he did not have a complete faith in Krishna. Even though he was given good advice, he just put it on destiny. That whatever happens will happen with destiny. And the result was very inauspicious. So we see how, for Dhruva Maharaj, he was insulted by his stepmother. So that inauspiciousness was removed and he got the highest kingdom, the Dhruva Loka. So his fortune was multiplied. Which Dhritarashtra, how he had so much wealth with him, but because of not following the path of bhakti, not dharma, he went to misfortune. His whole family was destroyed. So Krishna consciousness or the path of bhakti, it removes inauspiciousness and increases or multiplies our good fortune. So these are two benefits, first two benefits. The third benefit is sattvasya shuddhim, means our existence is purified. So how does that happen? Again, the Bhagavatam explains how through Krishna Katha our heart gets purified. Shranamataha shraddhaya nityam grinastascha swacheshtitam kalena nati dirghena bhagavan vishate hridi. So here it is explained that how shranamataha shraddhaya nityam, by faith, in faith to Shraddha, if we hear regularly Nityam, what is the outcome? Grinatascha Swa Cheshtitam. So there are three things mentioned here. One is hearing with faith. Second is Grinatam. Grinatas means to accept it. When we hear something, we should use our intelligence. We can discriminate and finally accept. I remember in my initial days, when I was new to the path of Krishna consciousness, I used to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So I should make a list of things. This is the list which I agree. And this is the second list which I am not sure. Maybe it's true. But I don't have enough experience to say it is false or not. And with gradual hearing, with gradual reading, the list of acceptance increased. And the list of doubts or questions became small and small. And it changed. The whole thing shifted from one column to the next column. Similarly, when we hear Krishna Katha, we should accept with our intelligence, with our faith, and with our own experience. So after hearing with Shraddha and accepting, the third thing is Sva Cheshtitam. Sva Cheshta means one's own endeavor. You must actually implement in our life. Unless we implement it, it will not give us the right results. So we have to give our effort. We understand that how in the path of bhakti, our progress is determined by two things. One is our endeavor, and second is Krishna's mercy. But we have to do our part. When we used to college days or school days, when we give exams, so we will give a test paper and then we'll get the results. So let's say out of 100, the pass marks are 50. Now some people will do good, okay, they will get good marks, 70, 80 and so on. But if someone gets only 40 marks out of 100 and the pass mark is 50, then the teacher give a grace mark. Okay, you tried hard, came up to 40, let me give you 10 marks grace and make you pass. Just cross the hurdle line, the pass line. But if suppose that he did nothing, he just wrote zero, nothing, the full paper is blank, will you get anything? There won't be any grace marks. So just like a student gets grace marks by putting his part, even though he may not be very smart, very expert, he said, okay, in this exam, in this question paper, out of the so many questions, I could attempt only 40. But the examiner, because he or she is satisfied with the student's sincerity, says, okay, since you at least tried 40, I will give you 10 marks grace and I will make you pass. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we may not be having all the qualities that are divine. But whatever we understand, whatever we hear, if we put them into practice and give our best, then Krishna or Radharani, they give us the grace marks. So all of us need that grace to cross over. So we may be trying our best and we may not be up to the mark. But because of the grace, we will be lifted and we can cross over that hurdle line and cross over Maya. So in addition to hearing and accepting, we have to practice. And even though we may not practice completely, we may have our deficiencies, our limitations. We will know that by sincerity and by seriousness, we can attract Krishna's grace and we can cross over our hurdles. Further, what happens with this? Kalena na ati dirghena. Very quickly, in the small time, Bhagavan Vishate Hridi, the Lord enters our heart. And what happens after that? It says that, the next verse is, Pravishta Karna Randhrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Samalam Krishna Salilasya Yatha Sharat. So Krishna, Pravishta Karna Randhrena, the Lord's holy names, his katha, Pravishta Karna Randhrena, means it enters through our ears. Karna Randhra means our ears. It enters our heart. And within our heart, what happens? Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna. Krishna actually personally removes all the anarthas, all Shamalam. Dhunoti means removes completely. So Krishna actually personally removes all these things. We just have to allow Krishna to enter through our ears. So, with this simple process of allowing Krishna's glories, Krishna's holy name, Krishna's pastimes into our heart, through our ears, the effect is Krishna personally actually removes our anarthas. Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna. What is the analogy given? Salilasya Yatha Sharat. Just like in the autumn season, when the autumnal rains come, Sharat. Salilasya means like pools of muddy water, they get cleaned. Make it graphical, suppose you have a cup of dirty water, you keep in under the tap, open the tap, suddenly the whole dirty water goes out and the good water comes in. Similarly, when Krishna's glories comes into heart, all the mud inside of heart actually is completely removed, completely cleansed. In fact, Shripad Ayendra Prabhu used to say that this is the lazy, intelligent way of progress. Just here. No need to do any hard work. Just by hearing, it's a very intelligently lazy way of making spiritual advancement by regular hearing of Krishna Katha. Prabhupada used to say that our anarthas are like bed bugs, which means if you experience a bed bugs, you know, in India we have a lot of experience as we grew up. You will not see, you know, we try to, you know, clean the whole house with of bed bugs, so everything is clean, looks like great. Sleep in the night, the lights go off, suddenly you find something is pricking you. And you say, everything was nice, and I had cleaned up the whole house, whole room. Suddenly what happened? Nothing was seen. And then you switch on the light, again nothing is there. Then switch off, again you find a bed bug pricking you. So similarly, our anarthas are there. Even though we take, you know, so much effort to, you know, clean them. And actually we sometimes think we are great, you know, yes, I'm doing great. But when there is a test, when there is an kind of opportunity, when we are put in some problem, whether it is a difficulty, whether it is a temptation, whether it is some situation, then actually our testing happens and we get a sense of, oh, I thought I was there, but actually I am here. And then we work in that direction. And so similarly, like bed bugs, we know that even though sometimes we may not see our anarthas, but with situations which Krishna arranges in our life, to give us a right understanding of where we are, and it helps us get a good estimation of our, you know, progress, that makes us more serious in devotional life, and we take Krishna Katha more seriously, and we continue our process of Pravishta Karna Randhrena and Dhunoti Shambalam Krishna. This process continues anartha nivritti. The last three benefits given in this specific verse from Bhagavatam is about jnanam, cha, vijnana, and viraga. So three different things: jnana, vijnana, and vairagya. Again, the Bhagavatam explains that how bhakti is the mother, and jnana and vairagya, knowledge and detachment, or renunciation, are two offsprings, two children of bhakti. So the fourth benefit was paramam bhakti. So when we get bhakti established in our heart, then these three things, jnana, vijnana, and vairagya, also follow automatically. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha. So we find that how when bhakti yoga is established in our heart, janayati asu vairagyam jnanam yad brahma darshanam, that how bhakti yoga can lead to these three outputs, jnana, vijnana, and vairagya. When Dhruva Maharaj had a darshan of Lord Vishnu, he says, oh my Lord, I am a mere boy. I don't even know any proper, please glorify. He says, I am a mere boy. I don't even know the proper rules of Sanskrit grammar. How can I glorify you? Then Lord Vishnu actually touches him with his shankha, and he starts speaking, you know, great poetry, very nice poetry. So this jnana is suddenly a kind of arises in his heart through bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was brought in front of, you know, the Lord after Hiranyakashipu was killed, all the demigods offered prayers. Lord Narasimhadeva was not pacified, and they tell him, you please offer prayers. Maybe he'll be pacified by your prayers. And then he says that, very humbly he says that, oh my Lord, I am a mere boy, 5-year-old boy, plus I am born in a demon family. What qualification I have to pray? Even though these demigods, these devatas, are doing stuti pravaha, they are, you know, having rivers of your glorification, I am just a mere boy. But again, because there was bhakti in his heart, he offered very eloquent prayers to Lord Narasimhadev and actually pacified him. So, jnana is an automatic outcome of bhakti. And what is the nature of this jnana? This jnana doesn't make you proud. Actually, it makes you humble. Vidya vinaya samparne. So this vidya actually brings in vinaya. Vinaya means humility. So this is the test of knowledge coming out of bhakti. That vidya vinaya samparne. It makes one person vinaya. And when we practice, we also get realization. So, jnana and vijnana. And ultimately, we get detachment from everything which is material and get attached to things related to Krishna. Just like a fruit in a tree, it becomes ripe, and because ripe and ripe with time, it automatically falls down because of its heavy weight. Similarly, by practice of bhakti and we cultivate jnana and vairagya, we become heavy with this bhakti process, and just like the fruit falls down from the tree automatically, detachment also comes naturally. There are so many examples of great personalities who were, you know, kings and, you know, opulences they had, but because of Bhagavad Bhakti, they were able to get detached from material attachments and able to utilize everything for the service of Krishna. And that is the highest welfare for all people. Shreyas. And here specifically, Nishreyas means specifically the greatest welfare for everyone. So in summary, we discussed about how Mahatma Vidur and Maitreya Rishi met, and this discussion between them, paraspara anu kathanam, this their mutual discussion, how this discussion is the highest welfare for everyone in this world, and how they discussed Bhagavad Bhakti. And we understand from the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, we discussed the seven benefits of bhakti and how this can be beneficial to everyone involved. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or any comments? Yes, Prabhuji. Microphone.
Regarding Shreyas and Preyas, what if someone accepts something that can give Shreyas out of some motive that is more Preyas?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the question is, someone accepts something which is ultimately for Shreyas, but there is some immediate benefit involved, some...
Like, for example, if suddenly I feel hungry and I just want to satisfy my hunger, and I see, oh, somebody left a puri and some sabji, it's something prasadam can give the ultimate benefit, right. But I may accept it out of some... not some desire to achieve that, but just because I'm hungry, do I get the benefit or not?
Thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you so much. So, of course, if the intention is ultimate Shreyas, the benefit will always be there. Because Krishna is Bhavagrahi. He knows our heart. He knows that when we are doing something, it is in our mind, in our hearts, there is a desire to satisfy or do things which is for the benefit of a higher nature. So we get the benefit. And over a period of time, we may be able to overcome or get over the tendency of prayers. But in this example, of course, having prasadam is, there is Shreyas and Shreyas. There is no other question. Because having prasadam is, they say that, the example given as how one time... Mahaprabhu, he gave prasad to Jagannath Prasad to Sarvam Bhattacharya, and he had not even brushed his teeth. He just got up and he immediately took prasad. So honoring prasad at any moment, at any point of time, with any motive, is Shreyas. So no, thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Anybody else want to add? Yes.
Thank you for a very nice class. Another example would be like those thieves who heard about Krishna being dressed with so many valuable jewels, so they wanted to find him. Their idea was prayas. They wanted to find him, take his jewels, and enjoy. Mm-hmm. But because Krishna was the object, it became Shreyas. Yes. Yeah. So Prabhupada made that point. And it's also made in the Bhagavatam that put Krishna in the center of everything. Even if your motive is not pure in the beginning, which it isn't, we're all coming out of impure consciousness. But because Krishna is the object, Krishna is in the center, then you will lose the attachment to prayas and you'll become attached to Krishna, which is ultimately Shreyas.
Right, Haribol, thank you. Yeah, the Bhagavatam says confirm this point, to add more. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajatam purusham param. So whether you have any desire, whatever desires you have, or no desires, or full of material desires, but come to Krishna, the ultimate benefit will naturally come with time. Thank you. Yes. Microphone.
Thank you for the class. The question is, can you explain further on the sincerity and doing our best in bhakti yoga?
Grace. Yeah, how do they get the grace? So, in the process of bhakti, actually the word sincerity can be used, it can be applied in any part of life. Are you sincere in whatever you are doing? Or do you have any ultimate motive, ulterior motive, besides the intended purpose of that process? So sincerity in bhakti, of course, there are so many aspects of sincerity. But specifically, we can discuss that in bhakti, when we engage in the process of the sadhana bhakti, sincerity means there is, even though there is temptation, there is distraction, or calamities, we do not give up our practice. And we stay true to the purpose, straight to our actions. So that is one test of sincerity. That when there is an opportunity of temptation, allurements, or distractions, will you be deviated or will you continue? For example, we see how Haridas Thakur, he had to go through so many tests. You know, Maya Devi herself tested him. And there was a prostitute, you know, which you know he had to go through some plot of by other devotees, other people like Ramchandra Khan. But he was consistently, he proved that what I am doing, bhakti, is my real goal. I will say no to anything else. So whether it is an allurement by Maya Devi or allurement by this prostitute, he was sincere. And he did not deviate from his path. So that's one example. That when you are given these other distractions, you stay course on course or you get deviated. So that's one test of sincerity. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Professor.
This is almost related to... it's a comment that I have from your class. When you mention about, I like the analogy that you make about the student, that he might not be able to pass the test, but because of his endeavor, the teacher will, isn't it? So then that brought me to the mind of Srila Prabhupada's one-time giving class that we hear many times. He was giving class, and in his class he said, to go back to Godhead, you have the 100%, 100% pure. And then immediately, you know, that he look at all the crowd, he's like, and then he says, 80%. And they're still like, and then Srila Prabhupada said, he put his chara like that, they say, 70%. So you see, the explanation that he gave, and you, the question that you asked, if you just keep sincerely endeavoring in this, you please the guru, you please the spiritual master, and everything is resolved. And that's for all of us. Because also I came with so many statements in the scriptures. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. I seen many people sometimes practice and they left and they look sincere. But we question, did Prabhupada was actually pleased or the guru was pleased? Or your authorities were pleased? So you just put all that together in the question, the answers that he gave. And you please Srila Prabhupada. That's it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Rosh. Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.